to celebrate tonight, you know, and to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing in the church and what the Holy Father is calling us to do, to come together and to be one body in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Praise God. I am delighted to be here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And, you know, I started working on these talks 2 weeks ago. And Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers had a fantastic game that day. And I said, you know, I should start off with a little connecting here and say, how are you guys about feel about the Packers? Are you guys all right with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers? And then the next week, You know, so we keep him in our prayers, amen? The Lord has gifted him, and
we're survivors.
The Packers are survivors. Well, it's an honor to be here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, too. And I'm really encouraged with your mission statement for the Archdiocese to ignite, to renew, and to energize. Isn't that what we're about in the renewal, right? We've been ignited with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and we've been renewed. Many of us transformed totally, right? And we have been energized. There's this new life that's in us that wants to go out and speak to the world about what we have experienced in this fire. And so it's wonderful. And it'll be wonderful to celebrate Mass tomorrow with Auxiliary Bishop James Sherman. And, you know, I was looking at your website, you know, kind of doing a little research. And you guys started back in the 60s. At St. Benedict's Abbey, or with Jack and Karen Swanson. They're not here, are they? Jack and Karen Swanson. But in the 60s, I mean, this whole movement began in 67, and here you guys are at the heart of things in the very beginning and right through the current leadership that you have today in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. You know, just wonderful what God is doing here in Milwaukee, and he's going to continue to do here in Milwaukee. Notably, Father Ken Metz, who served as a liaison for the Archdiocese, and he served 8 years as administrator in ECRIS. So wasn't that, I mean, just wonderful that the good things that have come out of Milwaukee. Just beautiful. Very dear friend of mine, Jerry Maida, we served on the National Service Committee together, and he actually mentored me in the development role for the NSC. So he's very dear to my heart. Sister Lucy and I call him and Lois our dad and mom. So, you know, he's not that much older than I am, but, you know, I felt it really cool that I could call him dad, you know? And he's just been so inspirational to me. And, of course, Marianne Strobiak. So, Marianne, thank you so much for all that you've done in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Can you imagine if Aaron Rodgers was still playing, how long this would have been, right? But, you know, we are here to look back with grateful hearts, and we are here to move forward with expectancy. And that's what I hope to do between tonight and tomorrow. Tonight, I want to celebrate. I want us to look back a little bit, to reflect on what the Holy Spirit has done in us. But, you know, tomorrow, hopefully, we're going to move forward, and I'd like to send you off with some future expectations tomorrow afternoon. You know, there is a growing sense that there is a huge tsunami coming of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Whew. Yeah. We ain't seen nothing yet. You know, I mean, 50 years of the rain pouring down on us of the Holy Spirit, and yet there's a tsunami of the Spirit coming. And, you know, we see this so vividly. You know, all of the Holy Fathers from Pope Paul VI, JP II, Pope Benedict, they've all affirmed the charismatic renewal, but nobody has affirmed us like Pope Francis has. Amen? You know why? Because the Spirit's been at work in the church. The Spirit's been moving hearts in the church. We've done a lot of the footwork in the renewal, but the church is saying now, I want to encounter this Jesus. And the Holy Father is saying, I want you to lead the way to show my people how to encounter this Jesus and to bring baptism in the Spirit to the church. Amen? Amen? I mean, you don't need any more affirmation. You know, a lot of us have been sitting around a long while saying, if they only affirmed what we were doing. You know, well, first of all, we weren't doing it. The Holy Spirit was doing it. And he was doing it in us. But now, the great rivers of the Holy Spirit are coming together in a mighty rushing water that will envelop the church and envelop the world. I honestly believe that. There's a hunger out there, you know. The world is disillusioned with itself. I mean, just look at the state of things out there. You know, there's a real hunger for something that's authentic, something that's real, something that's trustworthy, something that's believable. And we know that to be Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And there's new expressions of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're wondering where our young people are. Well, you know, God, wake me up from my sleep and let me see where you are moving in the hearts of our young people. And I've kind of explored this a little bit. They say I'm an old one that could be a young one. I'm getting to look more older. I don't know. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is moving amongst our young people very powerfully. There's these nights of worship and these festivals of praises that they're happening. And, you know, in the Pittsburgh area, and I feel I'm from West Virginia, but I spend half my life in Pittsburgh with the Ark and the Dove. So I've begun to become a Steelers fan. Oh, no. I become somewhat a Pittsburghian, I guess you would say. Anyway, I've experienced Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's just amazing what God is doing there. They had a life in the Spirit in a parish, and 400 people showed up. There were 22 small groups. there was too many people to have small groups. The second one they did, there was 300. They do nights of worship with 400 and 500. And, you know, what they do is they honor the Eucharist. Father, thank you for your devotion to the Eucharist. They do adoration, they do benediction, and they do a talk, and they praise and worship, and they have 12 priests in the back, and whenever you feel prompted, you can go up and have reconciliation. And I see young people and, you know, myriads of young people who are going and flocking to this. And this is not, it might be the charisms of some of the priests in the area, but this is not them. This is a great move of the Holy Spirit. For 50 years, we've experienced the reign of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
And it has surely fallen on us, and we have been saturated in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whereas in the past, in these last 50 years, a mere 120 million, or maybe 150 million, have been saturated by the Holy Spirit, in the tsunami that's coming, only a small group of people will be able to resist the Holy Spirit, and it will envelop the church and envelop the world. Think of a tsunami. You know, we've seen the disasters, right? There's nothing that can stand against it. It's coming. The waters of the Lord are flowing. So first of all, we need to look back with a grateful heart. In this Jubilee year, it's a great time to look back of the reign of the Holy Spirit. 50 years of a new Pentecost for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal and for the Catholic Church. In the very beginning, most notably in 1967, at an obscure retreat house in the North Hills of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Ark and the Dove, where some 25 students gathered and has become known as the Duquesne Weekend. You know, many people think the Duquesne Weekend happened at Duquesne University, but it didn't. It was the Duquesne students at the Ark and the Dove. And to the celebrations that are taking place all over the world this year, Marianne mentioned in Rome and at the Ark and the Dove in Pittsburgh, here in Milwaukee, we are experiencing the incarnate divine love of Jesus that we know as baptism in the Holy Spirit. I have to tell you that the Spirit is doing a new thing. This is a new season. And, you know, this little place called the Ark and the Dove, this little retreat house, who would have thought that the renewal would own this place? I mean, it wasn't so long ago. What started out, it was built in 1928 by the Bell Telephone Company to be a respite place for operators. You know, when you used to be plugging the plugs. So they were driving them crazy, right? So You know, they went away to this little retreat house to get some rest. And it was a children's house at one point, and then the diocese owned it. It was the Cardinal Wright Center. And it's gone through several hands in the church. Most notably of last was the Sisters of Divine Providence. And they called it Providence Villa. They changed the name of the Ark and the Dove. We were meeting the National Service Committee in January of 2015, and Tom Mangan got word. Somebody called him and said, hey, the Ark and the Dove is for sale, and the sisters have to sell it, and there's two developers that have the cash for it, and they want to tear it down and make condominiums. What say you? And we said, well, we have no money. So, and Bishop Sam was with us, and he said, we should pray and take the first step. And so we prayed and took the first step. And the first step led to the second step, and we prayed, and we took the second step. And then we took the third step, and step by step, until on December of 2015, we purchased the Ark and the Dove for the renewal. Amen? And, you know, it was incredible. The sisters, you know, heard our story. We got a Jewish realtor on our behalf. He was amazing, right? And he persuaded the sisters to wait 120 days to see if we could come up with some money. Two cash buyers on hand, $1.4 million, right? And a friend of the renewal decided to give us a loan for the $1.4 million on the 119th day. So we said, ah, it's over, you know, it was a nice thought. But Johnny calls us up and he says, we got the money. And I'm like, what now? You know, what now? And Johnny's been saying all along that we're just trying to hold on to the Lord's coattails. He's just moving so fast that, you know, we don't have a plan, you know. And we're just responding to grace, poured upon grace. And it has been absolutely wonderful. The first year we were fortunate to have an administrator on site, Tammy Stevens, who's now in Rome for 2 years working with ICRIS. And this past year, my wife and I have had the privilege of hosting the weekends, like Marianne was saying. But blasting flash of good news. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, Sister Lucy's community, have come to make their convent in the Dove and to run the Ark in the Dove. Amen? There are two sisters on site right now, Sister Bernadette and Sister Mary Gianna. And I can tell you that the tsunami is coming. There is no moss growing under these sisters, I'll tell you that. You know, they came on October 1st. I greeted them. I took them through everything I could in a week. And on October 13th, they wanted to celebrate Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima. And we had a rosary up in the chapel a night. And so already they are beginning to do events. And already there are people coming, young ladies coming, who want to think about consecrated life. Just beautiful. I mean, I was in New York 2 weeks ago. We did the Archdiocese Conference, and this little beautiful young lady from Mexico came up to me, and she said, I'm here from Mexico, and I think I have a vocation. And I said, well, why don't you come to the Ark and the Dove? Do you know she came? Yeah, and she spent 2 days with the sisters. How beautiful, how wonderful. There is a wave of the Holy Spirit coming that will not be able to be contended with. We have no defenses against it. We have no credit for it. All we can do is cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And so we celebrate what God has done in these 50 years in us. We celebrate baptism in the Spirit. What is baptism in the Spirit? You know, ICRIS has defined it very simply for us. It is that life-transforming experience of the love of God the Father, poured out by the Holy Spirit, received through a surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's simple. Who in the churches would have an argument against that? What is this baptism in the Holy Spirit that you're talking about, that you've experienced? Did it make you elite? God forbid. that it made us elite. No, what it was, I had a life-changing experience of the love of the Father that was poured out into my heart by the Holy Spirit as I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. He is alive. He is alive, and I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. His healing and his mercies we have experienced. And we're going to hear some testimony about miraculous healing and miraculous recovery tonight. He speaks, and now we understand him, right? I'm baptized in the Spirit. The scriptures opened up to us. Amen. And we could understand the word of the Lord. And not only that, we began to speak his language. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Efrote akohosh shalamahaya. Hi frate atovea. Hila dea. Hila dea. God is good. And now in 1 Corinthians 13, filled with the love of God, I find myself more patient and less jealous and boastful. I'm not as arrogant or rude. And there are times I don't insist on my own way. Times I am not irritable or resentful. I don't rejoice in the wrong any longer, but I rejoice in what is right. I find myself able to bear all things and to hope all things and to endure all things. Amen?
Amen.
Have you felt that?
Yes.
Amen. Jesus is the Lord. Amen. And so we celebrate what we have experienced, this Jubilee year, this year of grace, this year of relinquishing of debt. So pray that someone's heart moves for the ark and the dove. You know, our friend came back to us and he said this, and I'll make this announcement here. He said, whatever you can raise this year, 1 year, till August 31st of next year, it started in September, he said, if you raise $1.4 million, I will forgive $1.4 million of the debt.
Wow.
And you will have that money for your vision and for your mission. So we need, as a renewal, to pull together. If there's anybody who is interested, I'm not here to make a money plea, but if you're interested, I have a brochure that talks about our campaign to free the ark and the dove for what the Lord wants to do for it. But Jesus is Lord, and we are celebrating. You know, and looking back, let's be honest, I know most of us have been awakened from our sleep, amen? I mean, I was useless. my faith was something when my aunts came, when I made confirmation and gave me a silver dollar. I didn't know what faith was, right? I was asleep. I grew up in a good Catholic, Irish Catholic home. You know, my parents were good Catholic people. But I had no experience of the reality of Jesus. And so, you know, my faith was useless because I was asleep. But I've been waking up through baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now I know God is alive. Now I know I can live in joy despite the circumstances of my life, which I'll tell you a little bit about in a little while. But, you know, some of us have been rescued from death, you know, not just woken up. Some of us were on a path of destruction, and we were fighting a losing battle in a world that wanted to dominate us. And for those of us who've experienced the grace of baptism in the Holy Spirit, we no longer are captive. We have been set free in Christ. And many of us as are here tonight, I mean, there's a bunch of us, right? There are witnesses to that. And those are very important witnesses of the victory that Christ has placed in your life. And so we rejoice in the Lord always. Amen?
Amen.
Again, I say rejoice. Our stories are very important to us and to be told to each other. And we must remember them, lest we forget. When I was 21 years old, my mom had asked me to go to a prayer meeting. Now, you got to understand the circumstance here, right? First of all, I have three older sisters, and she said, Lord, if you give me a son for my husband, When he's 21, you can have him back. Now, I often was curious and argued with my mother about this because from the time I was 16 till I was 21, I got in a lot of trouble. You know, and if she only said when he's 8, you can have him back, she would have spared me a lot of grief, right? Because the Lord honors the prayers of mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers for sure. And he honored that prayer. So here I am riding a Harley Davidson. I was playing semi-professional football. I was in a relationship that I shouldn't have been in, you know. And my mother says, come to a prayer meeting because your friends are going to be there. And I said, not my friends, Mom. And she said, no, your sister's friend's brother, your friend is coming, so come. So I said, yes, I don't know why. But I went. And I walked into this Jesuit house in Staten Island, New York. 300 people gathered in a room, all ages, all kinds of people, differently abled people, all kinds of people. And there was a joy that I never experienced in my entire life. And they were doing something really strange that I didn't have any idea what that was about. And when they prayed in tongues and they began to sing in tongues, I felt like there were angels in the room. God was moving in a dramatic way in this stone cold, hardened heart to reveal his presence and his love. And in those days, there were life in the spirits were continuous. So every Wednesday started, every seventh Wednesday started a new life in the spirit because there were that many people coming into the grace. And so I went to the life in the spirit, right? And they talked all the talks and they came to baptism in the Holy Spirit and they came and they prayed over me. And here's this 6'2", 225-pound, long-haired, motorcycle-riding, hardened linebacker, and the Holy Spirit fell on me and there was snot coming out of my nose. I was weeping. I could not control myself. I didn't know what it was, but the presence of God suddenly became real. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I never stopped going. 42 years later, still going. So you have your stories, and they're so important. You know, you don't need to preach theology. You need to tell your neighbor your story. You need to tell your family members how your heart was touched. You know, this is the new evangelization. This is what will move people to seek God. I was coming here today, and I'm not very good at this. I always was jealous of Sister Lucy, because anywhere you go with her, you're going to evangelize, right? And I said, Sister Lucy, if I had a gray habit, I could do it too. You know, they just flood to you. You know, it's just easy for you. It's not easy for me. I'm ugly. I'm big. I'm scary looking. So I dared today on the plane. The first plane, I was sitting by myself, which was unusual. I said, I guess nothing, Lord. The second plane, I had a sense in the waiting area that this young lady was going to be sitting next to me. And doesn't she come and sit next to me? Wow. And I'm like, well, okay, Lord, what do we do now? I'm not very good at this. I'm a little bit of an introvert, hard to tell, right? But I am, we started just and she was talkative, thank God. we started a casual conversation, but before too long, I was giving her my witness. She was giving me her pain. We had a place where she came to receive the Lord Jesus, and she's going home to read the Gospel of John. And to allow that to penetrate her heart. Amen? We have a lot to celebrate. Because God has taken us from a place that nobody really wants to be. And has taken to a place that everybody's heart desires to be. If they only knew that was the place they could be. Amen? Truly, this is a time to celebrate. So in Acts 1 verse 8 it says, we have received power because the Holy Spirit has come to us and we have become his witnesses in the Americas, in all of Europe, in Asia, in Africa, and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, what an eye-opener it is. And the Ark and the Dove has done this for me, has brought the world to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. During our celebration, there were 23 countries represented, 13 different languages, and there was no gap, and there was no divide. It was unbelievable to see. So God has taken this little bit of brick and mortar and made it a monument to what he wants to do with the renewal in the next 50 years, and that is to bring us together, no doubt. So we celebrate this new Pentecost and the reality of the first Pentecost in our lives, this great gift that we have received in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he's given us this gift that other movements in the church don't have. And that's this gift of praise. My brothers and sisters, if anything, don't ever let this gift escape you. Praise the Lord in the morning. Praise the Lord in the noontime. Praise the Lord in the night. Praise the Lord when you don't know what to do. Praise the Lord when you think you know what to do. Praise the Lord when you find out you really didn't know what to do.